John 19, verses 1 to 3. Jesus before the soldiers. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. John 19, verses 1 to 3. Now it is possible to concentrate too much, I think, upon the physical sufferings of Christ, the torments and the tortures graphically described, and to emphasize this in such a way beyond scriptural warrant, I think. Now, having said that, I hesitate because, of course, these sufferings are real. As I suffer pain, as I feel it, so did Jesus. But of course, he being the spotless, sinless Son of God, the torments of his mind, in fact, there's a hymn say that we said something like that, the tortures of his body, yes, but the torments of his mind, knowing that he, the spotless, sinless, and yet almighty God could incarnate in flesh, that he, as the great mediator, the great God himself, Emmanuel, could call 12 legions of angels to release him and to reduce these men to dust by a word. And he doing this, he standing here, he bearing this in such a meek and gentle and unquestioning way. The torments here inward are every bit as much, if not more, than the torments of his body. But some believers have concentrated very much on the blood and the nails and the thorns. You see, the apostles, when they preach this and write about this, do speak of these things. They're historically true, but they always go for the meaning behind these sufferings, the cause of it, the purpose of it, the end of it, the aim of it, the decree of God in this. But I want to set out what was going on here and then come to that at the end. John is very brief on this. We had to go to all four Gospels to get the complete story, but we can sum up what's going on here. Jesus is suffering mockery. They're mocking him. They're scorning him. They're sarcastic. And they're abusing him. How are they being sarcastic? The crown, the purple robe, and the so-called worship. "Hail, King of the Jews." Repeated, the robe, the purple robe, the worship, and the crown. But it's a crown of thorns. And the staff they put in his hand, as we know from other Gospels, is not the royal staff, just a soldier's rod. Here they are in the torture chamber. Here they're in the guard room. Here they're having sport with the Son of God. Other Gospels speak of mockery, blindfold. "Who is it that hit you? Prophesy to us." They gave him a staff. Many other things they said to him. Many other things they did to him. They bowed the knees to him. They spat upon him. They paid homage to him. They hit him with the rod, and so on. Pilate had him flogged, and the soldiers mocked him. And he could have called 12 legions of angels to deliver him. But he stood there, silent, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Why? The word amazing comes to mind. I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We wonder why he could stand, how he could stand here and suffer such abuse when he had such power in his hands. Well, I could preach this, couldn't I, to try to move you, unbeliever, by pity. We are moved today by scenes of hunger or war or torture or pain. We are moved by it. And it's possible to move you emotionally by emphasizing the sufferings of Christ. But the truth is, as I've said, the apostles in their writing make it very clear. It's not merely the sufferings. I hesitate using that word, but it's not merely the sufferings. It is the sufferings with a purpose. It is the sufferings for a purpose, for an end. And that end is to stand in the place of his people. He is suffering for sinners. He is suffering the wrath of God. Oh, he's being mocked by Pilate and the soldiers, but he's under the wrath of God now, for he is bearing the sin of his people. He is a lamb being prepared for slaughter. And so the believer can look back and say, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You see, Philip Bliss caught the essence of this. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You see, this is how Bliss saw it. Is my Savior, in my place, bearing my shame, my scoffing that I should have had, rejected by God, not merely by Pilate and the soldiers and the Jews, rejected forever by God, but Christ standing there for me. Brother and sister, do we have to meet mockery, scorn, rejection? Our Savior sympathizes with us because he has stood there. And he went much further than we have ever had to go. His way was much darker and rougher than mine, said John Newton. And shall I thus suffer and shall I repine? No. His way was much darker, much rougher than mine. An unbeliever. You see, we as the children of God who have trusted the Savior can say with the apostle, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I say it again, in my place condemned he stood. When he bore this shame, when he took this scoffing mockery, when he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I can say that in Christ I have been brought to that place where I can say Christ bore the wrath of God for me, and it will never fall on me. Blessed be God then, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May his name be praised, Jesus' name be praised. Even as we see him in Pilate's hall and in the guard room, these mocking soldiers, cruelly treating him. What will it be when they face Christ in judgment? Oh, let us learn from this episode and turn to Jesus now and thank him for his sufferings. But more than thank him for his sufferings, trust him and his sufferings to put us right with God. If you do not, my friend, remember this. Those soldiers who went bowing the knee to Jesus in mockery will one day bow the knee in reality to Christ, and they will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father in judgment. And unbeliever, if you will not bow the knee now in submission to Christ, you will join them in confessing to your everlasting condemnation that he is Lord to the glory of God. So bow the knee now. Open the heart now, your heart, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, your Savior, your Lord.